You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, we literally Googled funny Bible proverbs, and we stumbled upon Proverbs 26. And so, Zach, as we've read through Proverbs 26 in our pre-meeting, which one stuck out to you?
Why don't you use pre-meeting very loosely? So a little history or context on Proverbs leading into Proverbs 26. It's, if you haven't read through it, it's a fascinating book. And truly is, in context, is a collection of wisdom. It's what we consider part of the wisdom writings in the Hebrew Bible. And Proverbs is intended to be a collection of wisdom passed down generation to generations. I just think it's a really cool thing. And something I think I wish we would do more. And so when you dig into Proverbs, where you jump in the middle of it in chapter 26 here as we are, or you start at the beginning and just kind of read around, something that you'll notice a lot is, like I said, it's just a collection of wisdom passed down, but also you'll notice a lot that wisdom is referred to with feminine pronouns, which I really, really love, because it just makes a lot of sense and it makes me happy. So chapter 26, I'm not going to read it to you because it's 28 verses long. And what's really funny about it, like Matt said, we Googled just funny proverbs, and they're almost like one-liners throughout this entire chapter. And really what it's speaking to in a really kind of, for us, maybe tongue-in-cheek way, but in a just a really, let's drive the point home on wisdom and foolishness and what it looks like to carry yourself in such a way. So it starts out like snow in the summer or rain at harvest. So honor isn't appropriate for the fool. And it's 28 verses of like this, a lot of analogy and alliteration, right? And some of the ones that really hit home for me, it's not as funny, but verse 12, do you see people who consider themselves wise? There is more hope for a fool than them. And what a stark reminder for us to remember how we carry ourselves in humility and just the nature as leaders, right? As pastoral leaders and leaders in our community, that if we walk around all puffed up of, look at me, pay attention to me, I'm so wise, people probably aren't really going to listen to us. And so what a great piece of wisdom to carry yourself in such a humble way, to remember that. And that's kind of what, really, that's kind of what Proverbs is how do you soak in that wisdom and carry yourself in such a way that, one, you don't make the mistakes of generations of past and learn from their wisdom, but how do you carry that on to the next generation and pass it on? There's some funny ones we'll probably get into here in a second, but Matt, what sticks out for you in general in Proverbs 26 here?
Don't be foolish.
Yeah, it's a real theme, right?
I mean, I feel like that's the thing is not to be foolish. It's a caution against it, and obviously there are some points that we'll definitely share here in a few minutes that tickle our fancy, but yet also are interesting in the sense of like, what is a foolish person like? What does that look like? And obviously, like one of the ones that really kind of stuck with me, and I got to find it real fast because I had lost it as I was scrolling through. Where was it? It was the one on the bed. What was that one? Here it is. 14. As a door turns on its hinge, so do lazy people in their beds. I kind of understand what they're talking about, because, you know, the culture was definitely hard workers equals success and all that stuff. But I could use a nap right now, so I guess that would make me a lazy person. But
no, I think that's self-care.
Yeah. But I definitely think that there's a fine line between self-care and lazy, being lazy.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that in another podcast. But it continues on, you know, a lazy person says the lion, there's a lion in the path, a lion in the plazas. And then you have lazy people bury their heads into the bowl, too tired to return to their mouth. And there's some gluttony in that, like just the imagery right. I have of that is someone just like stuffing their head in the bowl and just going, which, you know, with a good bowl of queso, I'm willing to do that. Or, you know, there's a couple food items I definitely would be willing to do that. Sure. You know, lazy people think they are wiser than seven people who answered sensibly. Like, I don't know. It's just, as we were reading this, it reminded me of like, one, how lazy people are viewed, and even they are created in the image of God, and you know there are ways that we can care for them and love them, but I think that it's a call not to be lazy, because that leads to a lot of bad behavior and disconnect from God, and I think mm-hmm. to be aware of that is key.
Yeah, I mean it's one of the things that we talk about in ordination, with not being idle with our time, right? Using our time wisely, and you know, sometimes that's overdone and having bad boundaries and in the fear of being lazy, overworking and overcommitting. That's also not what this is saying, right? Like, we have a particular connotation and understanding what lazy means today in a very stereotypical way. And really what it's talking about is being wise with your time, right? Being being lazy in the sense of I've got it all figured out. I don't have to participate. I don't have to learn more, right? And it's a caution against that. It's a caution against being content even. And so another point that strikes me, well, there's a little break in the text, which I always find interesting. But it goes on, verse 18, like a crazy person shooting deadly flaming arrows are those who deceive their neighbors and say, hey, I was only joking. I think that's poignant to our time today. And we like to throw grenades into conversations, whether it be in person and very much on social media, of I disagree with that and here's why, and here's why I'm right. Or just poking the bear in such a way. The wisdom leaning out of quit shooting flaming arrows into your neighbor's yard, and just when they call you on it, say, oh, I'm just kidding, just joking. That rhetoric, just, hey, I was just kidding, is so relevant for today when we don't want to take ownership of the things we say and do. I was just kidding, right? It was only a joke. And probably it wasn't. We meant the thing that we said and the thing that we did, but we don't want to take ownership and be held accountable for it. So just a joke, right? I don't know, maybe we're in good company that's still a thing that we struggle with as people, but also a really important reminder that flaming arrows aren't wise. They're not healthy. They're not not who God's calling us to be.
You know, when we post this, I want you to go back and listen to this moment, because I definitely have watched you do that.
This is a do as I say, not as I do type of moment in the podcast.
I know it's the pot calling the kettle black myself, and I recognize my shortcomings in that. But, you know,
to be fair, I just do it to you.
I've got a couple other text groups that would beg differently. But, you know, verse 11, the real reason why we fell upon this verse.
That's true.
Like a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats foolish mistakes. We know there's that common phrase, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. And that's what first popped up to my mind when mm-hmm. we did this. I think that's a question that the church has to wrestle with. as we're coming out of this season that we've been in with COVID and the division within our world that has really, really popped up. I think the church needs to ask, are we doing the same thing, expecting different results? And we're getting the same results we always have for the last, you know, 50 years. Because we need to recognize that the church has been in decline since the 60s. And there was even reports that came out this week talking about how that's even getting worse. And I really do believe that it's a lot has to do with that comment. You know, doing the same thing, expecting different results. And so we have to be able to do different new things. Like we have to let go of the past. We can't be controlled by it. We're obviously defined by it. But that doesn't mean it has to define us now. And we can move forward and work towards moving forward and not return to our vomit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the scary thing about our relationship with the past, right? Is when we hear the phrase, we got to let go of the past, it doesn't mean we forget it, right? It means we lean into the legacies and foundations that we have, but we move forward, we build upon it, rather than trying to play with the same building blocks, right? That's often what we do, is try to play with the same building blocks and make them a different configuration and hope for something new, instead of building upon the past, building upon the foundations and legacy of those who were wise before us, who did the same thing. They built on the proverbs and the wise and the wisdom that their ancestors left them, right? And for whatever reason, it feels like we've lost that. And that's why I love Proverbs and the idea of Proverbs being this collection of wisdom passed down from generation to generation so that they don't have to figure it out again, that they have the building blocks there to add to in such a way that, yeah, if we're not leaving the past behind, we're building on top of it. And we do that with the church. And like you said, I think you're exactly right. We have stopped doing that in good and healthy ways and have been bound by what used to be in a world that doesn't exist anymore. And that's hard. That's a lot. It's a lot. And it doesn't even stem into the last 5 years of life. Like I said, it's been the 60s, if not sooner, right? Not the last 100 years.
Well, and I think I think that's definitely a good place to land for us today is asking ourselves, how are we being innovative in our spaces? Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a conversation with someone who's leading Fresh Expressions in our annual conference soon. But I think that, you know, looking at some of those new fresh ways that we can do church is key. But I said this to our hospitality team the other day. And it's something I've been preaching, and it's something I will be preaching in August as we talk about hospitality as a church. Hospitality is really centered on building relationships and how you go about that. And I think one of the things that we forgot about the church is that we built these buildings expecting that to be the hospitality way in. And it's really about building those relationships that help us, grow us, shape us, and can make us do new things. And so I think that that's a... for me, that's a place I land in the sense of, how are we building relationships? Are we continually building relationships, or are we just expecting, hey, we've got this space and you drive by it every day, someday you'll stop in,
right?
Because we have a catchy church sign.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that's a good place to land in what is the wisdom that is before us, and how are we using it? How are we leaning into it in a variety of ways? In our lives and ministries.
Okay, so let's leave it there. And so we want to encourage you to go to our website at beardedtheologians.com, where we've got a lot of great content. You know, we've been doing this for 7 years, and we just have so much content. We definitely encourage you to listen to it. And there's some good stuff that even you can listen to that will help you build sermons, that will help you lead studies in your congregations, or just for personal study as well. And we want to encourage you to do that. One of the things, ways that you can help us is give us 4 or 5 stars, and then you can just say whatever you want about us. But we definitely would love to have the 5 or 4 stars, depending on what program you're using. But you can do that at most places you're listening to your podcast. And that helps us get be made known a little bit more. And don't be afraid to share or like us or even comment back to us. And so for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out. I was like, does he want me to say his name?
Yeah, actually I did. I brain farted today. Sorry, everybody. It wasn't on the teleprompter that way.
That's right.
I want you to subscribe and like this video and push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.